I'm so excited. I'm going to just turn over the floor for about 10 minutes for Christy and Jerry to share what God did in Costa Rica.
Well, I have a verse for you, Sylvia. The one I was going to share, because I've given my testimony before, but some of you haven't heard it, and I've wanted to be a missionary since I was 19. And I'm a little older than 19, and God's letting me go back since 2012 to Costa Rica finally after all these years. So, no, it's never too late. Ecclesiastes 11:6 says, "Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle. For you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well." And when I read the scripture, what God spoke to me was, it was about my age, not to think that I'm limited because I'm older, I'm retired, don't have as much income coming in, that, you know, his resources are everything. And that every minute of our lives, you're never too young, you're never too busy, you never have too many children. We have 8 children between us and 11 grandchildren. So we got a lot of things to deal with too. But he said, you know, every moment, you never know if that's the moment that's going to do something in somebody's life. And so always be ready to sow. And that's what he's encouraged us with, because we were having kind of a rough time, as Kelly and Jay will attest to. We had a time a month before we left where we were seriously considering not going. The finances weren't there. We were being attacked on all different levels. And we went to them, and we were in prayer over this. And miraculously, let me tell you some of the miracles of this summer. God opened heaven's resources, and we started praying differently. You know, Jerry and I both, we just started thanking God for the resources that he was providing. That's it. God opened heaven's resources to us at the 11th hour. We had more money pour in, and it was exactly what we needed. We came back, and we were not in the hole like we usually are, because we were self-funded before. And I just thank you for the offerings that the church has given and the other individuals gave, because you just can't believe what's going on in Costa Rica. These are other miracles. God provided a free bilingual Bible to present to Steve, who is one of our interpreters and a volunteer youth pastor in Costa Rica. God provided free attractive folders for the men's conference. God provided free beautiful bags for the women's conference. And they were a big hit, guys. God gave us favor with Pastor Oldemar from Iglesia Biblica there in Atenas, Costa Rica, where we go. He trusted us, and he promoted all the events. And they'd never seen us preach or anything. I mean, he's seen him teach evangelism classes. But, I mean, he invited all these churches from San Jose all over the place. God brought together members of various denominations that had never been in meetings together due to jealousy, because they were in fear of losing their members. That was a miracle. We witnessed the hunger of the pastors, men and women who were ready for revival. Costa Rica is ripe. Nearly 40 souls were saved in one church service when Jerry was preaching, and more during the conferences. And the pastor at that church said he'd been praying and seeking God for a breakthrough in salvation. So he did all the plowing, he did all the planting, he did all the watering. We just got to be a blessing. We saw the passion fired among the worship team members as they renewed their vision for service, because we had a worship seminar with John David Martinez from Community Bible Church. And he also went to Hogar de Vida, which is an orphanage, and sang there and blessed the children. The women's meeting changed in location the day before. Jerry came and told me. He goes, "Christy, now we had this beautiful hotel where we were staying up in the cloud forest. And the reason we rented it is we got to use the rancho, which is like a big event center. and it's all glassed in, and you can see the forest all around you. It was beautiful. And you know how women love ambiance. Well, the men had their conference there. They had about 41 men come, and they said there were going to be maybe four or five. So that was another miracle. But for the ladies' conference, we didn't get to have it up in that beautiful place because the sound man broke his foot. And so he couldn't undo all the sound in the church, haul it up, put it up in the event center, take it down, and put it back in the church. So the pastor told Jerry, please break the news to Christy that we need to have it in the church. And I was kind of like, you know how we are as women. We have to psychologically process these things. And I'm going like, okay, I know the facts. I know what's going on. I'm really disappointed on the one hand, but I know, God, you've got something good going on here. There were over 102 women that came. They could not fit into that event center that we had up at the hotel. And we had 12 men who came to help. They were cutting up fruit. They were doing sound, all different kind of things. So those people wouldn't have fit there. So God knew what he's doing. So don't get discouraged when things don't always work out. There's a reason. Men and women saw their potential and service for Christ as vessels with the Holy Spirit, because that was our emphasis as we gave our messages, was on their identity and knowing that they were temple of the Holy Spirit, that they had the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So there was nothing impossible for them. God gave us messages that were tailored exactly to the people's needs. After we talked to people, and I handed out 80 certificates, because that's what I was told to expect, 70 or 80 women. Of course, I didn't have enough for everybody, but I stood in line and hugged 102 women. And 102 women told me all different things, and I could see that, you know, what God was doing, and that it was just perfect for what they needed to hear. They're so ripe and so ready to be just right where we are. I think the biggest miracle was the joy that I felt. I always am thrilled when I'm, you know, in a worship team. I feel like I'm in heaven. You know, you just feel the glory of God. And the joy that we felt in everything that we did there, I mean, it was hard work, a lot of things we did. We had several conferences. We had to do all the running around, go shopping, do all this stuff. I mean, it wasn't all just, oh, we're here, having a great time at a hotel. We're going to go speak a little bit. It was a lot. And we entertained two guest ministers. Ron Bernard came also, Christy's dad from Colorado. And he also spoke at the men's conference with Jerry. And I want to tell you just something about Jerry, though, before I get off. That we've been married 9 years. And he was a fundamental Baptist preacher when I met him. And I'd been growing up in the Holy Spirit since I was in my 20s and everything. So we had a little bit different spiritual background. But I knew he really was on fire for God, and he really, you know, loved people, wanted to see him one to the Lord. I just thought he was a great guy. But I've seen him grow so much in the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, it's just amazing to see how God can use us and change us. And like, he changed his sermon that Sunday morning. He had something else he was going to preach at that church. I gave a message, and then he gave a message. And it was just a salvation message. And I thought, well, that makes sense. He's an evangelist. He's not going to let, you know, he's not going to go anyplace without presenting the gospel. But that was the message that pastor needed for his church, for that transformation. So, you know, I just want to praise God and thank him for the wonderful husband I have, and that he is willing, even at his age, we're in our 60s, to be moldable, let God mold you and use you. It's the most exciting thing.
Amen. I want to tell you something, folks. A lot of exciting things happen in life, and we go places. We want to tell people what what happened, what did. But I will tell you this, there is nothing more inspiring than when you're someplace and God shows up on purpose. I mean, literally shows up on purpose. And this is what happened when we were in Costa Rica. Last spring, Christy had a word from God that she was thinking, you know, we need a woman's conference in Costa Rica. That summer we were there, she had to leave, come back to the States. I stayed behind. I had 6 weeks of preaching and teaching on personal evangelism in the church. And she had emailed Pastor Odemeyer about this vision that she had. And Pastor Odemeyer had 11 preachers in his office one day when this email came in. And they all read it together, and they were so excited. They got so overwhelmed by, hey, we want our church to be involved. We want us to do what you're going to do here, Pastor. And then being a pastor's meeting, I walked in about 10 minutes late, and they said, can we do this? And I said, sure. And I called Christy, and I said, we're going to have a full summer. Dead silence on the phone. I mean, I want you to know I had just committed her to a ton of work because she is the brains, the bronze, and the work behind. I just show up and wait for God. But I will tell you, what she planned, what she did, she began to organize a whole year long. I flew back twice to Costa Rica to secure housing and all that. Well, Christy is just a planner, an organizer. She took care of everything. But I want you to know that after we arrived in Costa Rica, the work really began. And we began to see the presence of God. And I was told, don't be discouraged in your men's conference. There'll just be 8, 10, a few of them show up. 41 men showed up for a conference in the middle of the wilderness. Ron Bernard came alongside of me, and I'm telling you, we preached our socks off. And it was glorious. And then we had a pastor's conference at the church. Yes, Christy, we met at the church. And glory came down. God showed up on purpose. But I want to tell you something. Nothing has ever in my life, and I am a recovering Baptist, shocked me as much as when God shows up on purpose. When I went to that ladies' conference that day, I'd been working and getting everything done and running around, and it was time to start. And I walked through the back door, and immediately you're looking, the back door would be back here. I came in. There was 102 ladies praising God and singing and shouting. And I'm going, wow, God, this is amazing. And for the next 4 hours, she spoke, and it was amazing. So far, we have 11 invitations to 11 churches next year. Every one of them want us to come and be a part of their church and see what God will do. I want to thank you, Legacy. I want to thank you, individuals who have supplied gifts, tracts, donations, monetary value. And if you watch the little slideshow, this is your mission dollars at work. Don't ever be afraid to give to missions because God will show up on purpose.
God is good, amen. And just understand that that's just the beginning of the things that God is going to do. There's so many opportunities for you guys to touch and impact people around you. All you got to do is take the opportunity. What I want to do is in the time that we've got to be able to share a brief message with you about potential, power, and purpose. And I love what Jerry said is that whenever God shows up on purpose, and how many people know that he never shows up not on purpose? Right, he's a very intentional God. We don't have a passive Father. We have a very passionate, purposeful Father in heaven, who desires to see you become all that He dreamed for you. I think about it as an earthly father. There's dreams that I have for my kids, and I see the potential that they have. Each one of them are unique. You know, there's no, they're not the same size fits all, is it? And I have these dreams, but there's something about the Father's heart for each of us that's so specific. And when you think about Scripture, it says, before the foundations of the earth, the Lamb was slain for you. Meaning that God knew you. He foreknew you. Before he knit you in your mother's womb, he had a plan and a purpose for you. Any artist that begins to create, it's not so they can create a clone of something. It's so they can be a unique creation. And so it's so important for us to begin to understand the heart of the Father for us, and that there's potential in every moment. There's power of God in your life that's available, and that there's a purpose that he wants to fulfill. Proverbs 8, 1 through 2 says, listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads. Let me hear you say the crossroads. I think each of us in this place have been either at a crossroads in the past, or even yourself, you find yourself at a crossroads now. And the question is, do I go, do I left, do I go right, do I keep going forward, or do I turn back? And it's so important that we don't lose perspective, that wisdom itself, which is God's own spirit, stands at that crossroads calling you and saying, if you would just listen to me, I will reveal to you the potential. I'll reveal to you the provision that I've made through my power. I will reveal to you purposes that are beyond your imagination. If you'll just hear my voice, if you'll just seek me out. And it requires us surrendering all to be able to hear that voice. The place where these paths meet is significant. This is where the road on which you're traveling comes in an intersection, and you have opportunities before you. See, God made you to be a powerful being. If anybody's ever been to either Fiesta Texas or Disney World, they've got those cars that you can sit in, you know, in like the 1950s cars, and you can sit around in the 57 Chevy, and it takes you around this track, but it's on a railing, right? It doesn't matter how much you turn that wheel left or right. You're not going off the track. God didn't design you like that, did he? He designed you with potential. He designed you, though, with a free will. And so you have the opportunity to turn the wheel any which way you will, and he's going to meet you right where you're at. And his desire is the purposes of God are fulfilled in your life, not just his plans, like step one, step two, step three. I think God's less concerned with step one, step two, step three than he is of accomplishing something inside your heart, which is called intimacy, which is called wholeness. It's called, because when you get to this place of intimacy with your Father, you're not really having to ask him what his will is. You begin to know it. And so you might be at this crossroads and you have this opportunity of what you're going to do with it. And my encouragement to you is not to be complacent. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32 says this, for the turning away of the simple will slay them. The complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell in safety and will be secure without fear of evil. There's destruction that is found in complacency. Complacency tends to grow in Christian circles where there is not, I'll just say this, there's not trials. There's not persecution. You look in China, you look in the Middle East, you look at some of these places of the world where there is persecution going, complacency does not show up. Why? Because they live with this sudden awareness on a moment-by-moment basis that I always need to hear the voice of my Father. And I believe that America is at where she's at because complacency set within the church. And we became comfortable of holding our meetings, feeling good about ourselves, and going about our everyday life where we really don't have to worry about what we're going to eat and what we're going to wear, what we're going to drive, where we're going to live. I mean, there are those amongst us that do. I'm not saying that we do not have poor. But in comparison to the rest of the world, even our poor have greater privileges than the rest of the world. So the problem that we have is not provision, it's perspective. It's a mindset. What is the potential in this moment for God's power to show up, and what purpose does he want to unfold in my life or in the life of the people in front of me? We cannot allow complacency. And so if we're not going to allow complacency, what do we need? We need passion. Let me hear you say passion. See, passion is not complacent. Complacency equals passivity. Complacency equals passivity. If you're passive in your marriage, you're not going to have a vibrant marriage, are you? You can't wait for things just to happen in your marriage. You must be intentional. You must engage. What that looks like is you go to the Father, you understand who he is, who he's made you to be, and then you turn around and you look at every moment with your spouse as a potential moment to demonstrate the goodness of God, the love of God, the mercy of God. And when you look at the fruit of the Spirit, sometimes we look at the fruit of the Spirit as love and joy and peace and this kindness and self-control. And we look at those things as kind of like the bumper sticker thing that we have in Christian circles. And we have songs and we do VBSs and we sing about the fruit of the Spirit. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's great and it's cute. But you got to realize those fruits are not passive fruits. They don't show up out of passivity. They show up when we are intentional in seeking the heart of the Father, allowing him to transform us, and then we must allow those things to work through our lives. Love is not passive. Love is an active verb. It's passionate. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. He's not a passive father. He's not an absent father. He's a father who so deeply loves you and desires for you to fulfill his dream for you every single ounce, that when he was dreaming up you, he knew all the days of your life. He knew the potential that he packed within you. And he desires for you to have that potential unpacked in a powerful way, in a very purposeful way. But it must come through your intentional seeking him out. You've got to be passionate. That's why I love the worship service this morning, because it's not play. I mean, we didn't come to play church. And whether you were very vocal or you were very, very quiet in your worship, that's not a sign of how passionate you are. There's some people who are very reserved, and yet they burn. My father is a very passionate man, but he's also a very quiet man. So don't let everybody say, because you weren't dancing, you weren't singing, that you're not being passionate for the Lord. No, no, no. What's happening in the Spirit is your heart seeking out him. That's the passion that the Lord's looking for. Remember last week we talked about the Lord doesn't look for the outside, but he looks for the inside. He's wanting to see what's the desires of your heart, and it's going to require intentionality. I don't remember where I picked this up. I know I didn't come up with it. But today's acceptance is tomorrow's standard. Today's acceptance is tomorrow's standard. What standard are we setting for tomorrow? So today, passivity comes, or complacency comes, because we settle for something today that becomes tomorrow's standard. And what I'm seeing about revival that's taking place in the body as a whole, worldwide, is that we're no longer satisfied with church as usual. We're no longer satisfied with family as usual. We're no longer satisfied with the economy as usual. And then you can look in our country. We're certainly going through a political change and transformation, because people were not satisfied anymore with the status quo. But the challenge is if we put our faith in the systems of the world and the systems of man alone, then we're going to be in trouble. We must come to this place where our hope is in him. We must passionately know what the heart of the Father is. So today, as we sang in worship, you set a standard for tomorrow, that those kids that are out there, they're going to grow up and they're going to walk into the sanctuary. And the atmosphere you set today is going to be their standard for tomorrow. Maybe what you experienced today was brand new, and praise God, that was awesome. But I want you to understand, this is just the floor where we're starting. But tomorrow, what is our ceiling is going to become their floor. We must begin to lower the ceilings down to where they become stepping stones. And we go up and we upgrade and we keep going more and more and more. Do you know that at the time of the Reformation, in that time frame, it used to take anywhere from a month to a year for somebody to accept Jesus? Isn't that amazing? I mean, we look through history and we know and we see it. Like, I mean, we're not talking about like they were having to work for salvation. It was just something different about the culture and the atmosphere. It would take a while for somebody to accept Jesus. This morning, somebody's going to accept Jesus. This last weekend, we had kids on Wednesday night accepting Jesus. It's happening like this. Why? Because the standard for today, what we're willing to accept is that Jesus wants to speak to you now. That becomes normal. It becomes a cultural expectation and a norm. And we need to begin to set the tone in such a way. And where that comes from is from moving from a place of complacency into passion. And I'm not going to read it, but you know in Revelation chapter 3, it talks about the church at Laodicea and says, I wish you were neither. You were either hot or cold, you weren't lukewarm. And it talks about this idea of complacency. Like, why are you just kind of sitting there? God is not in neutral. There's this understanding, there's this thought out there, and where it came from is there's something called, people were called deists. Let me hear you say deist. A deist believes that there is a God, but that he's not concerned with the day-to-day affairs of men. And I think that is just as a powerful lie from the pit of hell as atheism is. At least an atheist is not riding the fence, right? But God is not complacent. He's not indifferent. He's engaged. His very nature of love and power and joy and righteousness, these things, are wanting to engage and transform. They're his characteristics. It's who he is. And so what we must do is we must hear the voice of the Spirit. We must hear his voice and see the potential that God has for this time and this place that we live in. When we become indifferent or complacent, we become blind and unaware of the incredible opportunities that come every day. One of the reasons we began to do the goodness of God testimonies at the beginning of our service was because I did not want to be complacent about the good things that God is doing. We want to give voices that on a daily basis, I want you to walk out of this place and look at every encounter that you have as an opportunity for God's power to show up and for him to fulfill his purpose through your life. There are no happenstance. There's no coincidence. So you've got to change the way that you think. You have to repent. You have to be different than you've ever been before. That means that when you see cancer, you don't look at cancer and go, oh my God, what do we do? You go, I can pray for that. Why? Because this is the potential for God's power to show up and his purposes of his goodness to show up. Last night, at the end of our leadership meeting, one of our family members got a call from her best friend because her brother died. And just watching the daughter just cry and weep. And looking at that moment as a potential for God's power to show up, his goodness to come in such a way that his purposes, no matter the purposes of the devil, the thief comes and steals, kills, and destroys. But we cannot live underneath that. We must live underneath the conditioning of the Son, which is that his goodness, his plans, his purposes will prevail no matter what the devil meant. And just even asking this morning about how there was an opportunity for that sixth grader to love on her friend and demonstrate the goodness of God, even when we don't have answers of why. So what areas have you been complacent in? What areas have you sat back and said, I don't know what to do? God's going to work out. God's going to do what God's going to do. And I believe in the wisdom of seeking the Lord and what he's going to do. But you cannot be complacent anymore, church. In Romans, it talks about the way people come to salvation is they hear the very word of God preached to them. It says, so how are they going to hear unless somebody tells them? And how is somebody going to tell them unless somebody's sent? And we send people here all the time, but let me change that one more step. And how is somebody going to be sent unless you're willing to go? You got to be willing to go. When you pull out of this parking lot, that's your mission field. Somebody reminded me of that last week. How important it is for us to set a culture that says we go wherever God sends us. And the mindset that we take on is there potential right now for God to show up. God shows up on purpose. You will not face a trial this week that God has not made provision for. The political season that America's in is not taking God by surprise. The economic season that America's in and the world's in is not taking God by surprise. He is shaking the kingdoms of this world so that his purposes of his kingdom coming and his will being done can happen. And the primary mechanism that that's going to happen through is a people who are called by his name, who know they are powerful, who they know they're their children, they know they're a royal priesthood, they know they're sons and daughters, they know they're fathers and mothers, they know the potential that they have and that they carry. And what's that potential? The very spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives inside of you. Kind of got quiet in here. God loves you. God loves you so much. So what have you been coming underneath? What circumstance have you come under? There's a saying of under the circumstances. What are you doing there? Get out. God never meant for you to be under circumstances. He made you to be a king that carries the kingdom power with him. Somebody say, well, is that, what do you mean? Is it God king? Yes, he is, but he's the King of Kings. Are you his child? Some of you know that. Are you his sons or are you his daughters? What's the son of a son or a daughter of the king called? Prince William and Prince Harry, I guess, right now. They're in line, and right one day the queen's going to die, and they become kings, or one of them does. That's true of each of us. So the Lord wants to do something this morning, and he wants to transition your heart from a place of complacency, passivity, into a place of potential, power, and purpose. So I want you all to stand with me. Second Timothy 1:7 says, for God's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity. Let me hear you say passivity. Timidity is the same as passivity. But what has he given you? A spirit of power, love, self-discipline, sound mind, the ability to do that. Passivity, let me tell you this before I pray for you. Passivity will kill potential. It will limit God's power, and it will leave his purposes unfulfilled. You know what passionate faith does? It maximizes those things. So go put your hands on your heart. Father, in this moment, we want to put our shields down. We want to put up those things that we've tried to cover ourselves up with so we can be exposed to all of your goodness. Holy Spirit, reveal to every person right now what compromises have we made where we become complacent. And if you hear a spirit of condemnation in that, you're not hearing the Spirit of the Father. Father, you always reveal things so that you can transform them by a loving, compassionate, merciful, good heart. I pray as those things come up right now in the name of Jesus, we confess them as sin. You never designed us. You never told us to be complacent. You never told us just to sit by idly and let things happen. You called us instead into an active relationship with you that engages you and then engages our world with your heart. Right now, I release over every person your Father's heart. I pray for a baptism of your Father's love right now to touch every single person. I mean, just lavish your love on every person right now, Lord, so much so that they would just manifest your presence. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness. Lord, I pray for boldness. I pray for vision. Lord, I pray for every marriage right now that, Lord, as we step from a place, because it begins in our home, as we step from a place of being passive in our relationships, instead we begin to passionately demonstrate your love to one another. Lord, that we begin to passionately demonstrate the love to our children and engage them, not let the world educate them, but we ourselves are called to demonstrate your love. Come, Holy Spirit. Transform us from the inside out. Reignite the fire where it's gone cold. Throw kerosene on the fire that's already burning bright. We just thank you for all that you're doing in this time and this place. And we ask this right now in your mighty name and all of God's people said. Amen. Now here's what I'm going to do. Don't sit down. We're going to, because I want you guys to go to your kids. I felt like the Lord very specifically said, if you are ready to accept Jesus Christ for Lord and Savior, not just to do a quiet prayer, but our altar ministry team is going to be up here. And they want to pray actively with you. And I love what was said recently by a minister who says, it might be a personal decision to accept Jesus, but it's not a private decision. You're called to corporately step into what God is doing. So if there's anybody in here that says, you know what, all that was good, but I need to know this Jesus. If you need to know this Jesus personally, come talk to one of our altar ministers. If you need healing for any reason whatsoever, we don't just say, well, I'll pray about that. No, we want to pray with you now and see fullness and wholeness come. And then bring somebody to church with you on Wednesday night. Bring somebody to church with you next week. Don't wait till school gets back in session and that's when everybody comes back to church. Just bring them with you now. All right? If it's good then, it's good now. Amen? All right. So you guys have a wonderful week. Remember, sign up for life groups and we'll be ready to see what God does next week. Amen.